Thank you very much for making time for me to speak this afternoon. As Kim said, it's been my great pleasure to chair the reference group for the QSA's review of the syllabus for the senior phase of learning. And what I want to do this afternoon is just take you through where we've got to so far. I hope many of you will have seen the blueprint document that's been out for consultation for some time now. But just in case you haven't or you're not familiar with its contents, I will explain a little bit about the context for the review and the contents of the blueprint, and then bring you up to date with where we think we now need to go, in particular in the light of the feedback that has come in during the consultation process. So that's really my brief this afternoon. And I'd just like to issue this disclaimer up front, being a lawyer, of course, that all difficult questions will be answered by Kim at the end. And if Kim can't answer them, then Paul and Janice will no doubt handle them with great aplomb. Let me just say a little bit about the terms of reference for the review. And this is a summary that you see on the screen in front of you. Our task was to look at the current QSA Years 11 and 12 syllabuses from a number of different points of view. The first was whether all students are catered for in the scope and content of syllabuses as they're currently organised. The second was how well the syllabuses allow for study structures that prepare students for future post-school destinations, and in particular whether selections that are now possible under the new Queensland Certificate of Education allow for a balance between a general education, completion of Year 12, and more specific study in particular areas of knowledge. Another term of reference was whether alternative principles of syllabus design is desirable for some subjects or areas of knowledge, and how well areas of knowledge or disciplines are represented. And finally, we were asked to look at how well the suite of Year 11 and 12 syllabuses connect or do not connect with the KLAs in the Years 1 to 10 syllabuses. And our task was to review and recommend a senior syllabus framework, including syllabus design principles for the future that would enable schools to meet the needs of students and the increased diversity of post-school pathways. So that was our mission. So as I said, what I'll do is explain a little bit of how that mission came to be shaped and the context in which we were asked to address it. I'll say a little bit about the blueprint that's been out now for consultation for a while, and then what we anticipate happening next. So, the context, and I think all of you will no doubt be aware that this review comes at a time when not only the state education system is undergoing major changes, but also at a time when the Australian government federally is taking a much greater interest in the senior phase of schooling around the country, and when global economic changes are putting more and different demands on education and on education systems, all of which adds up to the question mark, are we witnessing some kind of revolution of sorts in the senior phase of schooling? Let me just unpack some of those a little bit and begin with changes in the state education system. reforms to education in Queensland since the year 2000 to meet the demands of a changing economy and a changing global environment have fundamentally, one might argue, altered the nature of senior schooling. First of all, government has set a target to increase year 12 completion to 88% by 2010, the end of the decade. By contrast, if you go back to 1982, just 40% of 17-year-olds in Queensland completed 12 years of schooling and received a senior certificate. So what's envisaged is more than a doubling of the completion of the senior phase of schooling in a relatively short period of time. To achieve that goal, the Queensland government has introduced two significant changes to the senior phase of learning. The first is the legislative framework, which has been changed to increase the school leaving age so that young people are now required to participate in educational training beyond year 10. That comes from what's known as YPET, the Youth Participation in Education and Training Act of 2003. And secondly, the new qualification with which I'm sure you're all familiar, the Queensland Certificate of Education, which requires a significant amount of learning at a standard and achievement in literacy and numeracy, but also allows the inclusion of a much broader range of learning and a new set of flexibilities in terms of what, when, and where young people learn in senior school. So taken together, these reforms send a very clear message about the importance of senior schooling or its equivalent. But at the same time, it sends a clear message that senior schooling has to address a much more diverse cohort of students. So these reforms create a new context for senior secondary education. The expectation is that all young people are now expected to participate, to learn, and to achieve more than was previously the case. So that's an important part of the context, and in particular, it means that it's timely and necessary to reflect on how well our syllabus framework accounts for the diversity of young people who will be coming through the senior phase of learning, whose capabilities and aspirations will be more and more diverse than ever before. So an important question that's been in front of the review and of the reference group is whether the syllabuses are adequate to support schools to deliver the learning needs of these students. Now, we see this review as integral to an ongoing process of reform within the QSA and more generally. And I guess, although I've used the term revolution, I want to argue later on that in many ways this is an evolution with a sense of urgency, if you see what I mean. But young people are already registered with the QSA. They have opened their learning accounts and they've begun their learning journey towards the achievement of a QCE. So the early phases of this revolution or evolution with a sense of urgency are already upon us. So that's the local context. There is another dimension to the local context, which is to be seen occasionally played out in the pages of the Courier Mail, in which there is a bit of a leakage from the national debate, which I'll talk about in a moment, into the local environment about the question of a balanced general educational experience in the senior schooling phase versus a capacity to specialise and to choose perhaps more freely than might otherwise be the case. I think this is an issue that the review hasn't directly addressed, but what the blueprint offers, one might argue, is a series of levers that can be adjusted according to the outcome of that bigger level, higher level policy debate about the degree of flexibility and choice as against constraining of choice facing young people in the senior phase of schooling. I'll come back to that. But I'm thinking in particular of the views that have been attributed to your chairperson, John Mattick, and others in public comments on these issues. But let me come to the national debate, because there is a national debate, as I'm sure you're aware, sometimes conducted in the pages of another Murdoch newspaper, The Australian. But I think it reflects a political agenda that's beginning to assume sharper contours at a national level, which does frequently focus on the learning undertaken in the senior phase. And it's not just about what young people are learning, but also about the standard of that learning and the consistency of those standards across Australia. Clearly, amongst other things, we need to consider the possible impact of a proposed Australian Certificate of Education on senior schooling in this state. And we'll also need to consider the findings of work currently being undertaken in areas such as English, mathematics, physics, chemistry, and history at a national level. Moving beyond the national realm to a global perspective, I think we need to understand that the review is set against changes that are not marked by national boundaries. The growth of the knowledge economy, changes in the labour market, the emergence of new jobs, changes in notions of what constitutes work, have all put new demands on education that are not specific to Queensland, nor indeed to Australia. More jobs require formal qualifications. The generic skills now required in many areas of employment have changed, and more emphasis is being placed on transferable generic skills rather than the acquisition of specific skills. So all of that, the local, national and international context, helps set the context for this review. And to sum up what I think we needed to achieve is to ensure that the learning experiences that we design and which schools deliver are the very best, not only of the very best quality, but which also provide young people with a rounded education that sets them up effectively for participation in a more volatile and knowledge-based society. More than ever, getting an education is recognised as vital for personal health and well-being, as well as for the social, political and economic health of a community. So during the course of the review, which has now been going for 18 months, between 18 months and 2 years, we've discussed and debated within the reference group and with the many stakeholders and contributors and participants in the consultation processes, what learning is needed to engage all students and to encourage them to achieve in a rapidly changing world. We've looked carefully at the extent to which the existing syllabuses provide pathways to the full range of post-school destinations, that is university, vocational education and training, and work. We've also considered what it is that we want young people to know and to do, and what do we want them to do to be considered well-educated and able to function as active and productive citizens. And it's critical that we come to some agreement about the way forward so that we can start to put in place the necessary changes. Now, Queensland isn't alone in re-examining the structure of the senior phase of schooling. Other Australian states, including South Australia, Western Australia, Tasmania and the ACT, are also looking at this. And overseas, in the UK, the United States and in South Africa, the same questions are being asked, and similar principles and frameworks as we have identified in our blueprint are coming up in those discussions. Now, this blueprint has been the subject of consultation since the beginning of August of this year. And from the consultation to date, it's become clear that the proposed blueprint does provide the QSA with a range of opportunities to enhance individual syllabuses as well as suites of syllabuses. So let me just say a little bit about the blueprint. And essentially, the blueprint rests on four core principles. And those four principles are coherence, rigour, flexibility and connections or connectedness. I'll say a little bit about each of them. Beginning with coherence, what we've argued for in the blueprint is coherence in syllabus design, by which we mean building a continuum of learning from prep to year 12 that allows for the depth, breadth and balance in learning necessary for the 21st century, as well as enabling us to provide a fluid and responsive way to include new and emerging areas of knowledge. And I guess the core proposal here, which I gather you've been debating this morning, is that coherence can be best pursued by developing a curriculum framework in which existing syllabuses are clustered into fields of learning. Now, this principle is a central principle to the blueprint. And by and large, it is a principle that's been supported in consultation. The last comprehensive review of syllabuses resulted in a suite of 25 syllabuses that were released in 1970. 36 years on, we now have 80 syllabuses, with different emphases and different degrees of specificity. There is now an enormous amount of choice for schools and for their students. But at the same time, a minimum degree of flexibility in how schools package and deliver a programme of learning. It could be argued that simply adding more and more syllabuses is ultimately counterproductive to the objective of providing a balanced, broad and general education that addresses the needs of the diverse, increasingly diverse cohort in the senior phase. So I said, as I said earlier, we do need to look at this question of choice and specialisation and balance and how those questions sit with state policy on education and the extent to which schools have freedom to make their own decisions. We have to some extent to settle on what that balance will be. And the blueprint does not, in and of itself, seek to address that question. As I said, it creates levers by which that question, when answered, can be implemented. But I think there is that question of balance that needs still to be addressed. Building fields of learning will allow the continuation of a broad and general education, but while at the same time including opportunities for specialisation for particular pathways. But the notion of a pathway must sit comfortably with the development of a well-rounded education. In other words, we probably need to try and avoid seeing one as being at the expense of the other, but that we try and achieve both at the same time. Now, I gather that this morning Professor Hogan provided a theoretical base for the concept of fields of knowledge and suggested a possible way forward that might help us provide at the same time a choice within a clear set of pathways or routes for students to identify. So that's the first core principle, that of coherence and fields of learning. The second principle is that of rigour, where we've argued that there is a need for greater rigour and a more consistent approach to syllabus design, including greater clarity about the learning that has to be taught and assessed. Our proposal is to build rigour by developing clearer rationales for how decisions about content and sequencing are to be made, and including in all syllabuses generic elements, clear mandatory requirements, and assessment that reinforce the learning outcomes that we seek to achieve. In consultation, it was confirmed that we do need to identify common learning experiences for years 11 and 12, while at the same time maintaining our valued opportunities for a diverse and locally responsive system. One suggestion was to reconceptualise the common curriculum elements, or CCEs, that were identified in the syllabuses that were in use in the late 1990s. A reconceptualised set of common curriculum elements could inform future syllabus development. Consultation also reinforced the need for greater clarity about what has to be taught and for a re-examination of the ratio of content to process in our syllabus design. The third principle is that of flexibility. And this argues that a syllabus design needs to allow schools to be responsive and adaptive to the needs of their students and to their local circumstances, and to be able to diversify the courses and programs they offer to meet the needs of their community. So our proposal is to build flexibility through syllabus design that opens up different study patterns while still ensuring an integrated, focused program with clear directions in the learning. And again, consultation has confirmed that we need to look at how learning can be structured in different ways. For example, to create study patterns that allow in-depth courses spanning 2 years, courses that can be completed in 1 year, advanced applied courses with direct links to industry, extension studies allowing students to explore an area of interest in depth, intensive immersion courses and specialist courses. Different study patterns must open up opportunities for all students, particularly if the state's reform objectives are to be achieved. The development of different study patterns will be the focus of Alan Luke's presentation, assuming he is able to get here, and the second workshop this afternoon. The third principle is that of connectedness, The fourth principle is that of connectedness. And this describes how current learning should be connected with the learning that's gone before in years 1 to 10 and with the learning that will come after, either at university, in VET, or in the workplace. Our proposal is to build connections through a syllabus design that includes explicit advice and guidance that connects the learning in the senior phase with past learning in P to 10, as well as future learning in further education, training, work, and adult life. In the first instance, under this model, work would begin on a curriculum and syllabus mapping exercise to ensure that there are synergies between the findings of the senior syllabus review and the work of the QCAR project. Strategies to build the relationships with post-school institutions would need to be put in place. But that's a very brief summary of the four principles contained in the blueprint: coherence, rigour, flexibility, and connection, which we were suggesting set out some bottom-line commitments to the development of syllabuses in the future. Now, what's important about these four principles is that each of them builds on and reinforces the other. It wouldn't be easy to do one at the expense of any of the other three. We can't have flexibility without rigour. We can't have connection without flexibility. And cohesion is central to how we ensure young people who choose to remain at school beyond year 10 have the opportunity to gain a fully rounded education. Which brings me then to where we go from here. The next phase is the preparation of a technical paper that will be available for discussion in early 2007. This technical paper will specify the future development of syllabuses and will include the specifics of fields of learning, possible study structures within fields of learning, processes for quality assurance, how the subjects or study patterns offered provide opportunities for the achievement of a QCE, OP, and or a VET qualification, an implementation schedule, and costings. Because of the volatility of the current policy environment in relation particularly to national consistency of standards, assessment, and curriculum, the positions that are adopted in that technical paper will need carefully to reflect the Queensland Government's chosen position on those issues. The reference group will continue to play a critical part in the development of the technical paper. And those of my colleagues who are here today from the reference group will probably need to note that this will involve a fair amount of meeting time. The members of that group will need to ensure that the work in progress is discussed by their colleagues from the constituents they represent, and we'll be looking to you to provide feedback and comment as that paper is developed. The development of the blueprint as we go forward will provide a direction for changes that herald a significant and major overhaul of our current practices. In that sense, this is a revolution, or at the very least, an evolution with a strong sense of urgency. But these are revolutionary times, it seems. But any changes, we still suggest, need to be firmly based on the foundations of school-based curriculum, planning and assessment, and build on the principles that have informed other changes in Queensland for the last 33 years. And these include schools being adaptive and responsive so that their curriculum best meets the needs of their learners, flexible curriculum planning that's based on similar interpretations of syllabuses, and judgments about learning based on criteria and standards, folios of evidence of learning gathered over time, and the fullest and latest evidence of learning. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, teacher ownership through panel-based moderation that provides ongoing advice to schools on their application of standards in assessment, and the active engagement of teachers and the education community in the review and development of syllabuses. So I guess the key message here is that, as we currently propose it, the tradition of local flexibility, collaboration, consultation that draws on the experience of teachers and schools and the broader education community will continue to inform how Queensland syllabuses evolve through mutation to better align to the educational needs of young people in a rapidly changing society and economy. And it's in that sense that the blueprint is evolutionary. But don't forget the urgency bit. A comprehensive review of this sort doesn't happen very often, and in one sense, nor should it. But it means that we are now in a very privileged position to influence the future direction of learning in the senior years of school in this state. Our role is to ensure that young people leave school well-rounded and with the knowledge, skills and attributes that prepare them for active citizenship, a range of post-school pathways, and which supports the social and economic ambitions of the state itself. The proposed blueprint offers a more structured, focused and planned direction than has been the case in the past. It provides us with an overarching plan within which change can occur. It recognises and builds on the best we have in place now, but to improve standards, quality and consistency across the curriculum. And what we're seeking is a mandate to begin those changes in a clear and measured way. Thank you very much indeed.